Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the satraps and the prefects and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace." Therefore, as soon as all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, all the peoples, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up.
Imagine this scene. South of the city of Babylon, the plains of Dura made a natural amphitheater. A furnace is erected with a giant ladle for smelting gold. A 90-foot tall, 9-foot wide image emerges from the hand of the craftsman. It is slowly erected on its stone base, and there it stands, a tribute to the pride of Nebuchadnezzar. He has confused what God has told him with his own aspirations. And see, the people began to gather on the day appointed in verses 2 and 3. They well know that the furnace that melted the gold is now reserved for unbowed knees. And riding in on their carriages come the opulently dressed politicians, all who served in any capacity in the kingdom. And rubbing shoulder to shoulder are the chief representatives of the king, the military commanders with their clanking swords, and the civil administrators. And hurrying along in their wake are the bureaucrats, advisors and counselors, the treasurers, the judges who administered the law, the magistrates who enforced the law, the other provincial officials, subordinates of the satraps, mingled with their lesser persons among the mighty of the realm and seemed glad for the privilege of doing so. We might could have turned our camera to a section of the crowd where those gathered there were of many tribes and nations in their varied dress, and oh look, we could zoom in on Zedekiah, the vassal king of Jerusalem, and his entourage, according to Jeremiah 51. He is there, along with the rest, to affirm their loyalty to Nebuchadnezzar. Across the plain, we hear trumpets sound, the massive crowd hushes, and at a signal, the whole herald's voice rings out the commands. At the sound of the instruments, everyone is to bow down and worship towards the golden image, and who does not will be thrown into this fiery furnace hot enough to melt gold. Every eye turns fearfully to the roaring noise and smoke of a smelter. Suddenly the trumpets sound, full orchestra taking up its mighty sound, and all across the plains people slip to their knees and press their faces to the dirt, and the ground thunders, vibrates with the thunder of the drums, and the air is thick with the sound of instruments and voices. What would you do? Would you have good, solid reasons for bowing to the image? Would you hope to get lost in the crowd so no one would see your face in earth's dust? Would you even recognize this is a test? There's a problem. Are you so immersed in Babylon that at the world's bidding, it simply feels natural to kneel? Would your friends be pulling at your clothes, urging you to get down, lest you die? But look over there. right over there among the highest officials in the land. What about those three? Why are they still standing? Verses 8 to 12. They are pointed out in a jealous plot.
Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up."
Successful believers living among pagans will always be at risk. The astrologers notice with green-eyed delight that the three friends of Daniel have not bowed. In jealous ambition, they confer and they rush forward and wield the lying, slanderous swords of their tongues. The word here, accuse, is translated denounce. It means to tear into pieces. Like slavering lackeys, they remind the king of his command. But then, the spin they put on it. Listen to the words designed to goad Nebuchadnezzar's anger. "The people you have promoted and you have honored have totally disregarded you. They don't listen to you. They don't honor you. They do not bow." Hiss, dribble, slobber. Sinners slander the good men who are pleasing God. They do so to tear them down, to destroy their influence, to take their place. This is what it means to be an exile among sinners. Don't expect necessarily to be admired for standing at your convictions. Why are Christians so hungry for the world's acclaim? What dangers do believers seeking high position and prominence expose themselves to? What amphitheater is your life standing in? But they do stand. And they stand by faith in verses 13 to 23. For when all are bowing, just standing can be dangerous. They stand by faith in a fierce trial, verses 13 to 15.
Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?"
Nebuchadnezzar rises up, his face red, his fist clenched, his eyes flashing in a towering rage. He has been ignored. This may well be the greatest slight to offer a person who admires themselves. The three are brought into his presence. They are going to be given a second chance. When they hear the call to worship, they will bow down as they should. And if they do, all will be forgiven. And if they don't, the blazing furnace awaits. And now they're no longer in their place. They're at the king's side. Now here's the challenge. Here is Nebuchadnezzar's glove across their face. What God has what it takes to deliver you out of my hands? I wonder if the three smiled a bit. Did they look at one another and think, "Our God"? So through the trial and temptation, God is being challenged. This is not just about whether they will obey the law. This is about whether they know and trust God. Being tested by sinners is often more about God than it is about you. And Jesus said, they hated me. They're going to hate you too. Expect no less. Standing by faith is not only in a fierce trial, but with a faithful trust. Verses 16 to 18.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up.
The three friends believe in the authority of God to order their lives. They do not have to answer to Nebuchadnezzar. They are expressing the simple doctrine that God's authority supersedes the authority of human governments. When the human authority commands sin, the believers obey God. The three friends trust in the ability of God to deliver them. They know that God is able either to keep them from or to deliver them through the fire. This is an astonishing faith. It's not presumption. It's simple faith in an all-powerful God who does intervene on behalf of his people, but not always. The three friends rest in the autonomy of God to act as he pleases. They are willing to submit to whatever God decides to do. If he does not deliver them from death, that's okay. They will be delivered through death to paradise, to Abraham's bosom. And therefore, the three friends affirm that they will obey God regardless. Not regardless of what Nebuchadnezzar does. Regardless of what God does. You have that kind of faith? You're not standing in front of a fiery furnace. But in the moment that you do, will you say, whether or not God delivers me from or delivers me through, I will trust him. And so, standing by faith in the midst of a fiery trial with a faithful trust, but ultimately through a fiery punishment, verses 19 to 23.
Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace was overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace.
Brothers and sisters, if we struggle under the small pressures of finances and health and enemies, how will we fare when the pagans threaten our lives if we continue to come to church? Nebuchadnezzar is now roaring angry. He had hoped they would bow. Now they won't even bend. How dare they? Time to die. And so they will be punished in an overheated furnace. More coal or wood is shoveled into the firebox. The dampers are opened wide. The billows pump madly. The furnace roars and begins to glow red hot. And stout soldiers are summoned to bind the three friends and take them to the furnace. And in the haste of the king and the heat of the furnace, the soldiers perish. as they throw the three friends into the fire. They are punished by a consuming fire. Now I want you to stop and think about that. Think about accidentally putting your hand on a hot stove. How long can you hold your finger in a candle flame? What about putting your arm in an acetylene torch? Now imagine that just for refusing to obey an earthly authority, you are about to be cast into a smelter of gold. How will your faith stand then? See, this is where the kingship of Christ is most visibly seen. That God is King above all kings is seen in the stoning of Stephen, the martyrdom of James and Peter and Paul. It's seen in the blood soaked the sands of Rome's Colosseum, whose bodies were torches to light Nero's and Caligula's roads. The hands of sinners, believers, have been stoned and burned alive, sawn asunder, stretched on the rack and lost their heads. Their voices rise from believing hearts and dying lips to proclaim our God is King above all kings. He is the sovereign who has redeemed us. He is the one who rules over us. And no threat of death will cause us to worship another. But in the relative ease of our lives, do the lost around us see the kingship of Christ over this, over us? Is this unmistakably visible in the way we talk and in the way we live? Are we confident in God's power? Are we calm under His providences? Are we courageous to speak and committed no matter what? Does Christ actually rule over your life? Does Christ's redemption of us and reign over us actually make a difference? And if it doesn't start today in the small things, brothers and sisters, you almost certainly will fail in the day of a big thing. Standing by faith means being glorifying. And what we see here, that not only is he standing by faith, but he's glorifying in their deliverance. Verses 24 through 30. How does God deliver them? Well, first, by an unexpected person. Verses 24 and 25.
Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the fire?" And they answered and said to the king, "True, O king." And he answered and said, "But I see four men unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods."
So here it is. We are amazed at the personal presence of God in the trials of His people. Through the open door of the furnace, Nebuchadnezzar sees four. Four men freed and walking around in the fire unscathed. The fourth man looks like, as he puts it, the son of the gods. Any Jew reading this would know that the fourth man was the angel of the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar describes what he sees through the words and concepts he has. He sees the angel of the Lord, but his framework is the Babylonian system of religion. Here is the Lord's answer to Nebuchadnezzar's question. What God is there who can deliver him? Well, this God. The High King of Heaven will send His Son to deliver His people out of the fire. Here, once again, is not just a simple angelic messenger. Here is the very Son of God appearing in the Old Testament. He comes to His people in their trials. He walks with them in their troubles. He parts the waters for some. He provides food in the wilderness. He preserves in the midst of the furnace. Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. For the fourth man walks with us. We seek to have God's power and provision and protection, but most of all, we will have His person and His presence. Regardless of whether we live or die, we will be satisfied if He is with us. So they have a glorifying deliverance by an unexpected person, but with an unbelievable safety, verses 26 and 27.
Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace, and he declared, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them.
Now look at the crowd. What had been an object of fear and anger has now become an object of curiosity. They gather around to see what's going on out of the firing roaring furnace, and now presumably turned down so the king can be near. Step three fins, unsinged, unburned, unharmed. The fire had no power over them. For the High King has power over all. That brings them to a God-exalting proclamation, verses 28 and 29.
Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and delivered His servants who trusted in Him and set aside the king's command, and yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses laid in ruins. For there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way.
For there is no other God like this. Who could save them? Who could deliver them? What God is there? Oh, there is this God who we will fear." Well, the king recognizes the God of the three friends. He witnesses to their faith and to their faithfulness. And he calls on the nation to recognize the honor of the God of these three men. This proclamation declares the awesome power of God to act on behalf of His people, but He has yet to fully learn. He has yet to have a converted heart. But oh, that will come. That will come. Verse 30, by an honoring promotion.
Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
That may not always work this way for God's people. The three friends are honored by a promotion. They are given even higher rank and recognition they had before. Oh, this may be another aspect of the king's pride. He can point to these three among his mighty leaders as, "Look at them. These guys, they can walk in the fire and not be hurt. And they help me. They rule with me." His promotion of them may well have served to elevate himself. So what do we do with this? What do we do with this in 2016 in a transition from one administration to another, from one president to another, from much that we have known to much that we do not yet know? Well, the legacy of these three friends is written for our instruction and as an illustration that we might live among sinners declaring our God is King. He's not King because we elected Him. He's not King because we agree with Him. He is simply King. And the question then is, do we bow to the true King? Faith in God's power and submission to God's providences are at the core of living well among sinners. And our faith and trust rest in the God who does show himself mighty on behalf of three friends. We believe in his word. We trust his character. We rest on his promises. These are not just Christian slogans. They are the lifeblood that flows through our hearts. As we live among the nations, may God grant us faith and faithfulness. And once again, 1 Peter informs our faith and shapes our obedience. We live as exiles in the world. We have God's word and God's people, and we are called to submit as servants, even under great suffering. May we clearly show in the days to come the kingship of God over all. Do people watch your life? Yes. And do they know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, who really rules you? And Christ will be with you in the time of testing. He will be with you in the hour of trial. He will be with you to show how great he is. He will be with you to deliver you from evil. He will be with you in your standing. He will be with you in your serving. He will be with you in your submitting. He will be with you, yes, even in your suffering. And he will be with you in your dying. Oh, may that be enough. Father, make it so in our lives that we will stand even when all are bowing, because we do bow to you, our sovereign Lord and our great King. And you have loved us, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.